If my gospel is hidden, by R.S. Neville, Chapter 7, Jew and Gentile. Here is another confusing subject for Christians. Do the Jewish believers have a separate plan from Gentile Christians? The answer from Scripture is a clear no. Ephesians 2, 5 and 6. Which in the other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. We are one body and one church, whether Jew or Gentile, by birth of flesh. In the Spirit we are one. There is no Jew or Gentile, but only those who are of his body. We are now one new man in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:15. Paul the Apostle, a Hebrew by birth, said this, 1 Corinthians 12:12 and 13. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the bodies of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink of that one Spirit. The Scripture is clear. There is only one body of Christ. Receive no other teaching in this matter. The new man in Christ is both Jew and Gentile, each according to his faith. The meaning of Jew and Gentile. Jesus quoted Isaiah the prophet about the Israelites, saying, Matthew 15:7-9, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Honoring God with their lips was outside. Remember their hearts, spirits, that they were far from God. Remember what Jesus told the woman at the well in John chapter 4. God is spirit, and seeks those who will worship in him in spirit and in truth. In not mixing the law with faith, the people of Israel's hearts remained far away, while they uttered blessings to God with their mouths only. The law had become vain repetition. This was only a mere show of righteousness on the outside, while inside their hearts were full of hidden sin. It is the heart of man that God must change first, then the outside. By changing the outside picture, they never dealt with the nature of sin and its corruption inside them. It was a lot like dressing up a corpse. Jesus spoke about this again and again. He told them they only washed the outside of the cup, while inside it was nothing but vile abominations. He told them they were like whitewashed tombs. Tombs are pretty on the outside, but inside they're full of dead men's bones. Back to the pattern. In the pattern of God, Jew and Gentile were made to represent this set of circumstances. The Israelites were God's physical people. They came first just like the body did. They were rejected just as the body was because of unbelief. The Gentiles are a picture of the heart of man. The heart of man, the spirit, is far away from God. God chose through Jesus to reconcile the heart of man first, which is the spirit, and then later the body through the resurrection. So just as the body of flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, we see the physical people rejected. Though many Jews, such as the apostles, received Jesus, we see that most rejected him and still do. They were hardened and blinded, just as the flesh is sin in sin. John 12:40, Romans 11:7-8. Just like the spirit of man, we see the Gentiles accepted. The spirit made right first, then the body. The Gentiles are the heart that is far away from God. The Jews are the body that praises only with their lips. The Jews were considered near because to them was given the covenants and the law. The Gentiles were far away and without God and without a covenant. We all know that the law is for the flesh. It identifies sin in the flesh and demanded pure flesh for sacrifice. God's object was not just to reconcile the spirit, Gentiles, but the body as well, Jews, but each in its own turn. First the spirit, the heart, and then the body. First the Gentile, and then the Jew. Hear what Paul says about this. Ephesians 2:12, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off, like the heart of man, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for us to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you who were far off, and to them that were near. I want to stop here at verse 17 and explain. You see again, you praise me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. The Jews were the ones near, praising with their lips. The Gentile was afar off, like the heart of the Jews. And this comparison, those who were near and those who were far away, are expressed in Jew and Gentile. For through him we both have access, verse 18, by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So when we say that God makes Jew and Gentile one new man, we are also acknowledging the one new man of body and spirit, the resurrection of the dead, which is the redemption of the body, the seed of Abraham. Abraham is the standard for what the church is in Scripture. The word church is translated from the word ecclesia, those called out. As Abraham was called out from his family and country in Ur, so we are called out of the world. The Bible tells us in the letter of Hebrews, Hebrews 11, 8 through 10, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac, Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We learn that Abraham lived in tents, as did his heirs, because they were not looking for a physical land, but a heavenly one. Tents, tabernacles, are figurative of temporary dwelling places, like our spirits live in these bodies of flesh, looking for a more permanent dwelling. 2 Corinthians 5:1. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, this tent, were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Through faith, they could see God providing redemption for the sin of Adam, and they greeted that reconciliation to God from afar. They greeted Christ, who is the resurrection, John 11:25. A tent is a figure for a temporary dwelling. A temple is permanent. Abraham, through faith, received this spiritual promise from God and looked for it to appear. Galatians 3:16. Now Abraham and his seed, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Isaac was born by God's promise. The scripture tells us that Sarah's womb was barren, and that Abraham's body was next to dead. God brought life into Sarah's womb, where there could be no life. In the same way, we see that Jesus, who is the true child of promise, only shadowed in Isaac. He was not Isaac. He and not Isaac is the seed that God promised Abraham. Isaac was only a figure of this real spiritual promise. Sarah's womb compares to this creation, and Jesus the Word was planted in it by God. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother, Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 15:36 through 38. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain. It may be chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth to the body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and thy seed, which is Christ. Jesus is the true seed of Abraham. He fell into this earth and died, thus reproducing after his kind. He was planted in the womb of Mary, and so this earth, even as Isaac was planted in Sarah's dead womb. Life planted where there could be no life. Isaiah describes Jesus as a tender plant, and a root out of dry ground. Isaiah 53:1-3. On this note, we should discuss the concept of barrenness and how it applies. Barrenness. There is a connection in Scripture between this earth and a mother's womb. In the preface, we compared the Christian to a child in the womb and a seed in the soil. All three were in darkness, awaiting for their time to enter the light. The finite world we live in and the womb are both places of development. Mankind as a whole and a child in the womb are in their beginnings innocent. We examined the roles of some of the Bible's barren women and how life was produced. From barrenness by the working of God's Spirit. In the flesh, all of these supernatural births were impossible without divine intervention. Just like the seed, one may plant and another may water, but only God can make it grow. All of these children born became men of destiny meant to express God's purpose of election, as shown in Romans 9:8-13. They which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah will have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither have any done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. God's purpose of election is what God, by his sovereign will choose to be. These sovereign acts interrupt the natural degeneration of this world's carnal eventuality. God, by his Spirit, causes there to be life where there is no life. It is the same operation with which he created this world in the first place, creating the things which are seen out of that which is not seen. This operation of the Spirit is well represented in an ancient prophecy of Scripture, Isaiah 54:1. Sing, O barren, that thou didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. The natural children of Abraham are not the ones counted for the seed, any more than it is the natural man. It was those born by God's fulfillment of his own promise that are counted for the seed. In other words, it is those born of the Spirit. Natural man and natural Israel were in effect cast off. Those born of the Spirit, specifically by Christ's blood, are counted as the children of God. Paul used the same figures in Galatians 4:22-31 to explain this concept. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he was of the free woman was by a promise. Which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants, that the one from Mount Sinai which gendereth the bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren, that bearest not. Break forth and cry, that thou travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what says the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall never be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Paul told us flat out that this was an allegory. These two women represented two covenants on two different mountains. Now let's study these two women closely. Hagar was Sarah's bondslave and an Egyptian. She corresponds then to Mount Sinai, because that is where God gave Israel the law. The law reveals to us our bondage to sin. The Israelites were bound in slavery to the law of sin and death. They were under the law, even as Hagar was under law. The fact that Hagar was an Egyptian plays heavily in the allegory. Egyptians are figurative of carnal people. They are the people of the world, unregenerate and slaves to sin. We as Christians are pictured as Abraham's children. Our home is not in Egypt, but we were in slavery there for a time. God forced Pharaoh, Satan, to set us free. As spiritual Israelites, we wander as strangers in a strange land now. We are tested here in this wilderness. Here our carnal lives meet their death, even as those who rebelled and were faithless dropped dead in the wilderness, as recorded in 1 Corinthians 10:5-10. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them murmured, and were destroyed also of the destroyer. We hope also for a promised land, which is God's heavenly kingdom. The law cannot get us there, only Jesus. Joshua, which is Yeshua or Jesus, led the Israelites into the promised land. Moses, who was figurative of the law, was not allowed to enter. This tells us that observance of the law cannot get us into heaven. So the natural children are like Ishmael, children of Hagar, flesh judged under law and in slavery to sin. The children of Sarah were born after God's promise. Sarah represents the Temple Mountain of Moriah in Jerusalem, a place where God's Spirit rested in the Holy of Holies. She is the free woman, the Church of Christ. Her offspring came about not like Hagar's, through the natural workings of the flesh, but rather the intervention of God's Spirit. Isaac is a picture of Jesus, the true child of promise. He was born where there's no child could be born, in a barren womb. Isaiah prophesies this birth like this in chapter 53, verse 1. He who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath form nor comeliness that we shall see. There is no beauty that we should desire him. The arm of the Lord is our Lord Jesus. He is God's right arm with the power to save. He grew up before God as a tender plant, a root out of dry ground. He was in the barren womb of this earth, the only spiritual life in a dead planet. No natural working of sinful flesh could produce this child of promise, just as Sarah's barren womb could not have produced the child Isaac. God produced this child by his Spirit. He was born out of barrenness, just as God created what is seen out of nothing. God brought life out of death. This all leads us back to the two Adams. Adam's children were born of sinful flesh, while the offspring of the last Adam was born by God's Spirit. Ishmael is figurative of the fleshly Jews, Abraham's descendants, and Isaac the spiritual Jews who shared the faith of Abraham. Romans 4:12-25, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but also who walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he hath being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to them also which are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and called those things which are not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. God brings fruit out of barrenness and calls things that are not as though they are, like life out of death. There are many accounts of barren women in Scripture, and they all witness to this figurative teaching of the flesh versus God's Spirit. Read the stories of these women: Sarah, Rebecca, Tamar, Hannah, the mother of Samuel, Manoah and his wife, the parents of Samson, and others. All these are examples of God fulfilling His promises and producing life out of death. The truth of Jew and Gentile. So we see the truth of it all. It's not the natural children that are counted for the seed, but rather those of the Spirit, who, whether Jew or Gentile, are adopted as sons through the sacrifice of Christ. There's one body, and it is of Christ, by the Spirit, and not the claims of the flesh, which perish. Remember, God seeks those who will worship in spirit and in truth. Also, we see God's pattern as it speaks of the rejection of flesh and the acceptance of spirit and the redemption of our bodies through the resurrection by the sacrifice of Jesus. All this is expressed in Jew and Gentile.